Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healer is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, I set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect their emotions with their natural inner state of health. With this radio, and the help of all our guests and callers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lights online. Listen to your favorite teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. Join show host, healer, and founder of Inner Healers in Peru, Susana Stiglich, while she unravels each topic hand in hand with her wise guests. Many people around the world have improved their lives thanks to their sharing through the Inner Healers community. Join us for a joyful experience. Shows are recorded, so you can download each as a podcast to listen on your way to work or whenever needed.
How are you today? Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. My name is Luciana Stiglich, and I will be your host today. Today, you will be able to listen to wonderful Toni Elizabeth Sarpetrinovic. She is a master teacher, metaphysician, and quantum physics researcher who instructs spiritual seekers how to see, hear, understand, and express from their core through their heart the voice of their soul. Toni is clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world. She's always assisting others to access these dimensions also. The week of September 16th to the 18th, Toni will be presenting a conference in St. George, UT, called Summit 2012, Beyond Chaos. It will be at the Green Valley Resort. What this is about will be part of our show. Hello, Toni.
Hi, how are you? It's so good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi. It's great to have you here with us on the show. So let's go beyond chaos. What's this conference about? Tell us about it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Well, one of the things that we all know is that humanity is changing. What most people don't really take the time to think about, or maybe don't want to think about, is that nobody knows how the change is going to manifest. There's sort of an idea about what we would like to see or what we hope is going to happen, and yet that's all based on religious beliefs, political beliefs, what country you live in, et cetera. No one really knows what we're capable of because we've never been to this place before. And since everyone and everything is shifting, what we are going to do in the Summit 2012 in St. George, Utah in September is we are going to come together as a collective consciousness, creating a unified field, and walk into what I call the unknowable, which can be known, which is our future, and create it in that moment, in that room, so that we can see what is incomprehensible to our minds become real for us as we feel it in our bodies. Because our hearts already know exactly what we're yearning for. Our hearts already know what we want to experience in our lives. So when we begin to go to that place rather than to our heads or our minds, then we bring about the set of circumstances, we bring about the energy wavelength that allows us to experience it together. So while it's going to be a presentation, and yes, I'll have, you know, the screen there and I'll have beautiful pictures and what have you up there, and I am going to say some things, it is going to be much more about the group together creating this moment in time where we can see into our collective future.
So this summit will be on 2012, right? Like next year, in September next year.
No, it's going to be this year. It's the name of it is
okay,
Summit
so it will...
2012 Beyond Chaos. It's this September. It is September 16th through 18th of 2011.
Yes, because I had people asking me if it was going to be this year or next year, talking about next year as well.
No, the name of it's 2012, Summit 2012 Beyond Chaos means let's go beyond 2012. Let's go beyond this idea because there's this whole, very marketed belief that in December 21st of 2012, something mysterious is going to happen. And I hate to disappoint everybody, but that day is going to come and go, and nothing's going to happen because the changes that we're experiencing right now. It's just going to be more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Earth right now and you see all of the cataclysms that are going on and the economic upheaval and all of the revolutions, this is literally ramping us up to a tipping point where we're going to experience a shift, but it's going to be something that we're going to kind of slip into rather than make an abrupt change from left to right.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that the Mayas wrote about this previously, right?
Well, this is what we are saying as the human beings that are present now. The things that we really know about the Mayans, short of the fact that they were a very warring, bloody people, is that they had 17 calendars. They took those 17 calendars and they intermeshed them together into a system of calculating times and cycles of time. So we've pulled one calendar out, which is the 13 Bakhtun calendar, and we've said, we're going to pay attention to this one. We believe it began 3114 BC. We believe it ends in 2012. This is our interpretation. We can only believe that based on if the people who have translated it from the learning that they got from their books are absolutely to the day correct, then that's going to be the end of the cycle. If they're off by a year, if they're off by a month, then they're off. A lot of people are saying that it's this year. A lot of people are saying it's in 2013. I mean, there's all these interpretations, which is basically what the human race does all the time anyway. We constantly take something and we assign it an interpretation, and we assign it a significance. That doesn't mean that it's true. And this is the thing that I keep stressing to people, is that because there's this term in marketing and in newspapers and in various media, if it bleeds, it leads. In other words, if it's scary and it creates fear, people will pay attention to it. So this type of fear is being instigated in the population, and it doesn't have to be there. People can just choose to know that they're believing in something that doesn't really have a firm foundation.
Right. So do you think this cycle we have interpreted about is like a physical cycle, a spiritual cycle? What do you think they meant?
Well, they see the cycle from the standpoint of the way the stars, and we have the precession of the equinoxes, the way the astronomy sees the various stars moving around, and that's how they gauge cycles. So after basically 5,125.36 years, we have the end of a solar cycle, and that's what they just counted cycles. That's all they were doing was cycles of the stars. You can assign any meaning you want to on that particular set of stars. I mean, I give, full honor to people who do astrology. I understand that there's some basis for it going back to ancient mysticism. But remember, we assign the meanings. So if you say, for instance, okay, I'm Pisces. Pisces is spiritual and a water sign and has its feet in both worlds. Okay, that kind of describes me. But there are billions of Pisces out there that it doesn't describe. And we focus on what we want to focus on, and we make it be real for ourselves. We say, okay, this applies to me, therefore it must all be right. It does not equate. So the Mayans were looking at the cycles of the stars, and they were creating calendars based, one of their calendars is based on astronomy, one is based on when to plant, one is based on when to have children. You know, there's all these calendars that are immersed together, and they assign the meaning for them to what they were counting in time, and we do the same thing with our time, like we live by the Gregorian calendar, and now we're taking their interpretation and we're saying this is what it's going to mean for us. And for me, that doesn't work because I know how easy it is to mistranslate something. And we don't really know what they meant. The best cartoon I saw about the Mayan calendar, it was just fantastic. It was on the web. People were passing it around. And there's this Mayan walking into the house and his wife is sitting there cooking in soup. And he's got this huge round calendar in his hands, and he goes, "Honey, I ran out of rock at 2012. Do you think anybody's in the mine?" And I just cracked up, and I thought, wouldn't that be funny if that were true? Because, I mean, just think about our calendars. You know, I'm looking at a calendar that's posted on my wall right now for the year. So 1,000 years from now, somebody finds that, and it says, 2011, this is the only calendar I find in this house. We only find 2011 calendars in this country. It must mean something huge happened then, rather than that happened to be the year that some devastation ended us all. I mean, you just really don't know, and depending upon what they want it to be.
Right. So do you think the chaos that we are experimenting right now might in some way have to do with misinformation?
Well, it's partially misinformation, and it's partially what's called the hubris, which is the very ego-centered ideas that humanity lives by. Every human being, and all you listeners know this is true, everything in your life that happens impacts you, so it becomes all about you. And as a race, that's what we do. It's all about us. Now, if you think of us as this little teeny globe in this little teeny solar system, in this infinite, immense universe that is beyond anything the mind can even stretch to understand, we're saying that everything that's happening in our little globe is based upon our transformation and our changes in this calendar. It's such an ego-centered viewpoint. What's really happening is that infinity is just continuing. Is the human race changing? Yes. And even if we had never had Mayans, even if the Mayans never existed, even if there was no Mayan calendar, we would still be going through the changes we're going through. We're just pinning it on something. If we didn't have the Mayan calendar, we'd pin it on something else. Just like Y2K, when the millennium was changing and 2000 was coming, everybody was sure it was going to be the end of the world. Recently, I think it was last month or the month, in May, there was a fellow in the United States, Harold somebody, I can't remember his last name right now, who predicted that based on the Bible, on a specific day in May, the world was going to end. And there were thousands and thousands of people who sold everything that they owned. They sold their house. They gave up their savings. They gave it to Harold, of course. And they followed what he said, getting ready for the world to end on that day. And, of course, nothing happened. But he was absolutely sure it was. We each do this in our own way. And what I like to bring the attention back to is, yes, we are evolving, expanding. I like to think of us expanding like a balloon. Like a balloon expands in every direction at the same time because we're expanding in our physical bodies, our mental, emotional, spiritual bodies. We're expanding in every dimension. Our knowing, our awareness of experience is becoming greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. And that would be happening Mayan calendar or none, because that's the natural progression of this dimension, nature. And it's all in a cycle, just like if you watch nature. You know, we have winter, summer, spring, fall. And for the human race, we go through these times of change where we come to this new level of understanding and we stay there for a while, and then everything starts to fall apart and we come to another level of understanding. And it's been like this ever since the human race existed.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
There's a wonderful book I just read called The Myth of the Great Ending. And the fellow did the research to track all the myths of in every culture, of how every myth in every culture just kept saying, okay, this is going to be the ending. This is going to be the ending. This is going to be the ending. And it just keeps on going and going because it's a cycle. But there is no end because we're infinite. We are God in form. We are God in a physical body experiencing ourselves. So there is no end. It's whether the earth stays in one piece or not, there's still no end to each of us.
Right. You were talking about astrology minutes ago. Will your conference talk about the Aquarian or Piscean age?
No, I'm not even going to bring it up. I mean, because if I say anything about it just in passing, it'll be just that, in passing. Again, it's something that we have created. Think about, just use your kind of going back into the past kind of mind for a minute and think about how those ages and the names of those ages were assigned to specific star systems by a person. I mean, somebody had to start it. Somebody had to say, I'm the first person that ever said these words, okay? Somebody decided this. He got a whole bunch of people, probably a man, he got a whole bunch of people to back him up and to join up with him, and it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. I just read an article that was just wonderful where this institute did this research, and they tell you how they did it. They tell you, they show you exactly the research they did, where they found that it only takes 10% of the population to believe in something for everyone else to start believing in it. So if he got, if original first astrologer got 10% of the people in his group to say, oh, that sounds good, let's believe that, then they began assigning that to all of these various quote-unquote ages. If he had never done that, and if no one ever did that, we would still be going through changes, but we wouldn't be calling it the Aquarian age, the Piscean age, this age, that age. They're all belief systems. And so long as you have a belief system, you make it part of your story. And so long as you are attached to your story, you will never see yourself clearly because you'll always see it through the eyes of your story. It's like watching a movie and identifying with a character and living that life, whereas the person who's identifying with the character really has a life that has nothing to do with that character. And that's what we are as souls in our bodies. We have the story that we've created. And so long as we stay stuck in the story, then we can't see ourselves clearly because we'll always refer to our story. I've been like this ever since this happened. I've been like this ever since my mother said this, my husband said that, my wife did this, my children. I mean, there's always this reference point. And when you remove the reference points, you begin to see yourself clearly, and you remove the mask of you that is the story that's hiding you.
So the conference will have to do with dissolving maybe some belief systems we may have collected until now.
Oh, absolutely. That's the first thing I'm going to do in the morning is we're going to dissolve belief systems. I'm going to invite the audience to toss out belief systems to me. And we're going to dismantle a couple just to show people how to do it. Because it's so easy to dismantle a belief system. If you take any belief system you have about anything, even when I brush my teeth, and you follow it back, you will find it arriving at a point where someone told you you were supposed to do that. And someone told them, and someone told them, and someone told them. There was a story I read once, and I might have told you this in a different interview, but I'm going to say it again anyway. There was a story I read once about this woman who was fixing dinner for Thanksgiving or some holiday, and her husband said, I want to help you. What can I do? Because her mother was coming, and his mother was coming, and her mother's mother was still alive. So they had all these generations that were going to come together. And he said, I'll fix the ham. And she said, you can't fix the ham because you don't know how to do it right. And he goes, what do you mean do it right? You put it in a pan and you put it in the oven. And she goes, no, you've got to cut off the ends of the ham. See, I knew you didn't know how to do it right. No, you do something else. I'll do the ham. So when dinner time came and everyone was gathered around the table, the husband asked my mother, if she always cut the ends off of the ham before you cook it, she goes, well, of course. That's how my mother taught you to do it. So then he asked that woman, the mother's mother, did you teach everyone to cut off the ends of the ham? And she goes, Well, I didn't teach them that. I used to cut off the ends of the ham because I didn't have a pan big enough to fit the whole ham. That was just for me. I didn't teach anybody to do that. But because they saw Grandma do it, then the next one did it and the next one did it. Every belief system is like that. Somebody decides something is true, and they begin to tell other people buy into it, and they believe that that is true, too. You get to your 10%, and then you have a group believing it. And again, as I said, it keeps you from seeing yourself. So at the summit, what we're going to do first is look at belief systems and realize that it is the belief system that you're holding that's keeping you from really using the law of attraction, from understanding all that you can be, and from making the invisible visible, which is what we will do at the summit.
I was reading the schedule that you posted on your sacredspaceswa.com website, and you were saying that you were also going to ask the help of the whole light beings on Saturday afternoon, right?
Oh, yes, the whole light beings, the light orbs. Oh, my gosh, they are so much fun. When I was thinking about how I was going to format the summit, they just said to me, because they speak to me, they said, we want to talk too. And I said, oh, all right, well, when and on what, and, you know, give me some details. And I said, oh, we'll be spontaneous. You can do it. Don't even be concerned about it. And I said, oh, all righty then. And I just kind of left it alone. And a couple weeks later, I was driving my car, and I get into this very meditative state when I'm driving, especially if it's someplace I go to regularly. And all of a sudden, they were in the car. And I said, what's up? And they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. At 1:30 on Saturday during the summit, we want to be the ones speaking. And we are first going to take questions and answers from the group. We're going to take questions and we'll answer. We'll have a Q&A session. And then when that's done, we're going to talk about the new generation that's coming in, all of the new children and what they're holding and why they're coming the way they're coming and how to be with them. And I said, okay. And they said, so that's it. That's what you need to do. So it's interesting that we're having this interview now, because if we had had this interview when we couldn't have it, when the phone didn't work, I wouldn't have the information that I have today. So it's all perfect.
Really?
So I said,
that's interesting.
Yeah, because what I'm going to tell you now just happened last night. So I said to them, "Will you send me some pictures, or be present in my pictures, or something in a certain way, so that I can use you these pictures to tell people about you?" And they said, "We'll take care of it." Well, there's a lady in Croatia. Her name's Annika, and she is like the photographer of the light orbs. She, no matter where she is, no matter what camera she's using, no matter what time of the day it is, they appear to her in her camera in ways that they don't appear in anybody else's. People send me light orb pictures every day, and no one's pictures look like Annika's pictures, and they're untouched. I mean, she wouldn't even know how to do anything to them. And last night, she sent me 24 pictures that are so far off the chart of any light orb pictures I've ever gotten that I'm glad I was sitting down when I opened them up. And I emailed her, because I go into Google Translate, and I translate from English into Croatian because she doesn't understand English, and I said, Annika, oh, my God, this is what I've been waiting for. And she said, well, let me tell you the story. So she tells me this story about how she went out and took these pictures because she woke up in the middle of the night and she heard the light orb say, now. She went outside, she took the pictures, she came inside, turned off her camera, it was 1:30 in the morning, got back in bed, couldn't sleep, got up, went out, looked at her computer. Her camera had turned back on, and she thought, oh, my gosh, I guess I'm supposed to download the pictures right now. So she downloaded the pictures to me and was sending them to me and sent a little message saying, I'm sending you these pictures. Well, her night is my day and vice versa. So I got it in the daytime, and I sent her an email saying, I can't look at them right now. I'll look at them later. She had gone back to bed, couldn't sleep. Thought, okay, what now? Gets up, goes and looks at her computer, and she thinks, I must have some message I'm supposed to see. Clicks OK, gets her message from me saying, I can't look at them right now. And then she said, I said to the light orbs, OK, can I sleep now? And she said, and then I went back to bed and I slept. So I got all of these confirmations of what they're going to. So I can use all these pictures now at the conference. I can show people these pictures. I mean, they're just. She doesn't just get light orbs. She gets them coming out of the vortexes that they come through. She gets different shapes of them. She gets doorways. She just gets all of this information with her camera. It's amazing.
That's wonderful. Yeah, is this a lady that the pictures of the lady are shown on your website? There's a lady here on your website.
Yes.
Is it her?
Yeah, the lady and the man
That's
sitting
wonderful.
Next to each other. Yeah, the ambassador and the translator. Yeah, she's the ambassador, and then he's the translator. That's Igor. Igor's in Croatia. They're friends. They live in different towns in Croatia. And he translates. If she writes me, like the letter she wrote me about what happened with, you know, having to wake up in the middle of the night, he translated that. So she'll send him a message, and then in Croatian, and then he'll translate it and send it to me. So the two of them do a lot of things together, and they came to me through a lady in Canada, actually, who said to them, you know, you're taking pictures of light orbs, and I know this about this lady in Washington. Why don't you send her the pictures? And this was years ago. So they started sending me pictures, and we've had this great relationship ever since. So most of the movies that people see on YouTube that I use light orb pictures, not all of them, but most of them are Annika's pictures. Because when she's, I mean, I've got thousands of pictures from her. And so, and she's moved. She's moved towns. She's moved buildings. She's changed cameras. Nothing changes. It just becomes more. It's amazing.
Wow, that's interesting. So she has even moved?
Yeah, she's moved. She's moved from one town to another town to a different apartment. So it you know, it isn't like the light orbs are only there for her in one place or because she's using a certain camera. There's no physical outline or boundaries or limitations to what's happening. She can go anywhere, and they just appear for her. Yeah, it's just it's beautiful, and she's a very sweet, sweet lady. So as of last night, I have the pictures for the summit of my book, and I'm very excited. And we'll definitely be using those when we when I put together my presentation and the picture part of my presentation. So it'll be really fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
It will be, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You also said here that on Sunday you'll have two mentors. One is Dr. Gordon Reynolds, and the one's Jonelle Reynolds. Who are they?
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Gordon Reynolds is actually in-house at the Green Valley Spa and Hotel. And he used to be a gynecologist. I have his kind of a rundown of his credentials on my website. And he deals right now with organic constituents of earth and how to get hormones into your body in a way that will allow you to have health and longevity. So he's really into nutrition. He's into supplements. He's into how to live in this world that is so toxic right now with in a very healthy way. So he's going to present an hour of that. And his wife, Jonelle, is an emotional freedom technique practitioner, and she's really, really good and very famous in that area. So she's going to give a little talk about that. Both of them used to be the directors at La Costa Resort in California, which is a very, very famous resort. And they created the programs there for health and nutrition and well-being, and then they moved over to Green Valley, and they're doing it there. Gordon Reynolds is in Susan Summers' book about defying aging, and he's very famous for his ability to assist you with information on longevity and health so that we can live very, very long lives and still be very healthy and active the whole time we're alive. So they're going to do an hour each on Sunday morning about this and assist people to integrate. And when I asked Jonelle what she wanted to do, she said, I want to help them to integrate what they learned from you on Saturday. So it's going to be really fun. They're just delightful people. We had dinner with them while we were there in St. George last month, and they're beautiful. So they're going to be really fun.
Sounds so interesting, really. There are also some notes here saying that Friday and Saturday evening will have different kinds of schedules and participation from people. So it says it will have a soul circle, an intro presentation, burning of intentions, a labyrinth walk, a Tibetan bowl concert, some other things that are like really, really interesting. Could you talk about a little bit about it?
Yes, on Friday night we'll have a soul circle, which is something that James and Alicia Hadlock, that's their work. They're going to do this with me. And it allows people to express their own feelings about the subject of choice, whatever the circle decides we want to talk about. So you get to express your feelings in a non-judgmental field and have other people witness those feelings with you. And that's the way we're going to introduce ourselves to each other. Then we're going to go out with Mike Rice, who is the Green Valley General Manager, and do a labyrinth walk where we literally burn everything we want to release and not hold on to anymore and set our intention for the summit. That will be Friday night, and I'm going to do a little introduction before all of that. And then Saturday night, we have Donnell doing this Tibetan bowl concert, which is this unbelievably gorgeous healing sound energy that is going to transport everyone into the ethers. Believe me, she's so beautiful. So those are going to be little add-ons for the evening after we've had dinner together, which will really be fun.
It sounds like a really, really wonderful evening. I have some questions from people that are listening to our show. The first is, let me see, it says, does that mean that there's not any determination in the course of our lives? Now, this has to do with what we were talking about earlier.
Right. No, there isn't any determination in the course of your life. What's determining the course in your life is this moment. What you are feeling in this moment, feeling overrides thought, feeling comes first. What you are feeling in this moment determines the course of your life. And that is the part of the law of attraction that nobody talks about. There is a sort of a scientific bent, if you would, to say that thought creates feeling. Well, it's been proven that feeling creates thought. We feel first, we think second. So when you're thinking a thought, to use the law of attraction, if you don't believe it's real, if you're afraid it won't happen, if you have doubt, et cetera, the feeling in you is what creates the energy wavelengths, which tells the universe what you want. It is the feeling that you have to change. And it is the feeling in this moment that goes into the realm of all possibilities and says, this is what is next. And then that the feeling of the next moment says, okay, this is what is next. And then it continues on that way. So, no, there is no predetermined destination, if you would.
Mm-hmm. It was reminding me of something. Psych astrology usually talks about having lessons to learn and having, like, not exactly predetermined things, but lessons to learn. So, for example, if you have a certain conjunction or certain, I don't know, this planet is in this place, it usually means that there's a lesson to be learned that has to do with something. Does this mean that when somebody works through their feelings, the lessons are able to be learned easier or faster or with more conscience than usually?
Well, if we pay attention to our feelings, then we will know what we want to balance. And I understand the concept of learning lessons, and I don't like it because that connotation means that something is wrong. You need to learn something because you don't know. We all know. It's bringing ourselves to a balance point. It's sort of like thinking of a pendulum swinging to the left and the right. You swing this far to the left, and you're going to swing that far to the right. Well, what do you have to do to bring yourself to balance in the middle? So whatever you feel, let's say, for instance, somebody says something to you, and it feels very hurtful, and you feel hurt. In the moment of that hurt feeling, which is your feeling, it isn't the other person's feeling, it's your feeling. In the moment of that feeling, you have a choice whether you are going to absolve them and simply see it as an experience between the two of you, whether you're going to get mad, whether you're going to hold it against them, whether you're going to forgive them, but maybe not really. I mean, all of these choices are in the feeling of the moment. So each feeling tells us, as soon as we have the feeling, okay, here's the feeling I'm having. How do I want to be with this feeling? The decision point is, quote-unquote, learning the lesson. And as soon as you say, well, no, I'm not going to forgive that person because I don't like them, you've swung over to one side of the pendulum. Now you've created separation, and something is going to, just because of energy, the way it works, as far as you swing to the right, then you're going to swing to the left. So something else is going to come along and give you another opportunity, and another and another and another, until you can come into balance in the middle. So it's always about
emotions are, right, so emotions are what make you, or what help you make the choices, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So this person sent me another question. It says, my relationships then also rely on me and myself. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't understand everything you said. Try it again.
Sorry. The question says, it's the same person that wrote before, is listening to the show, and it says, my relationships then also rely on me and myself. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, they said their relationships rely on themselves. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, my relationships then also rely on me and myself. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Your relationship relies on you. Absolutely. That's true. It's always us. Always us.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any other way. I mean, as soon as we say it's the other person, all we're doing is projecting our junk on them. And I'm not saying
right.
that people need to agree with everything that everybody else says or does. But we always have a decision how we're going to hold it energetically, how we're going to feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
We always have that choice.
Because feeling is a choice, right?
Feeling is a choice. It's a choice in every single moment. If you
mm-hmm.
don't like your feelings, choose again.
And that's what decides your reaction, yes?
It decides exactly what is going to happen next. And I like the word maybe response instead of reaction, because the reaction means to act again. And when we have a reaction
uh-huh.
to something that somebody else is doing, then we're depending upon them to create our response. When we hold our availability to just respond the way we want to respond in that moment, then we're able to not react to them, but to respond to them from the truth of our feeling. There was an article I read yesterday that was just so cool. I put it in my newsletter for this week. And it was talking about speaking your truth and speaking up for yourself. And it was a counselor who was talking about a session she had with this man who said his wife is always saying things to him that are hurtful. And so the counselor said, well, what do you say? And he says, well, I tell her, you know, that I'm hurt. And then she just defends herself. And it goes on and on and on. And the counselor said, okay, in the moment of being hurt, do you say to her, when you said that, I feel hurt, I feel crushed, I feel sad? And he goes, well, no, I don't tell her that. I just tell her later that she really hurt me. And she said, the counselor said, well, the next time it happens, I want you to say to your wife, what you said right then really caused me to feel hurt, and see what happens. And he came back to her and he said, oh, my gosh, it changed everything. She said, the wife said, you're kidding. I said something that was hurtful? What do you mean I said something that was hurtful? She didn't even know it. So when he later was saying to her, you hurt me, she was thinking to herself, what is he talking about? I didn't hurt him. I don't even know what he's talking about. So it's always about stopping in the moment, seeing how we really feel, and making a decision to express from the feeling we're having right then and be in union with the person, so that they can see where we are and go from there.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't the husband in this case be placing himself as a victim of the wife?
Well, he's owning his own feelings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he can see himself as a victim if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to see yourself as a victim. You can simply see yourself as a human being having an experience. If somebody
mm-hmm.
looks at you and says, you know, I think you're full of, you know, fill in the blank with a swear word, that doesn't feel good. And if we say that doesn't feel good, we're not victimizing ourselves. We're simply saying that doesn't feel good. What are you saying
mm-hmm.
that for? We're owning our own position in our physical field of energy. Instead of saying to ourselves, well, I just won't talk to that person anymore. I just won't have anything to do with that person because they don't like me. Instead of going to that, and running away.
Which would be a victim case, right?
Yeah, that is a victim case, yes. But when you stand up and you say, you know, what's going on here? Why did you say that? That felt awful. Then you give the other person an opportunity to talk. And sometimes
right,
that
so
takes courage.
So owning our emotions would be like having a compass in life?
Owning our emotions would be like what in life?
Like having a compass?
A compass, yes, absolutely, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Our emotions
mm-hmm.
are a compass, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that, maybe learning how to do this or learning how to have this compass in life could help us make things better for us, thus affecting whatever will happen tomorrow or even in 2012?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to determine how we experience 2012. It's going to experience mm-hmm. How we're going to experience tomorrow. It determines everything. It tells us what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. We always have our feelings to rely on to tell us what is next in the cycle of our breath, because we really only have this moment. I mean, that's the only thing we really have. And so long as we keep our attention upon this moment as the only moment that we have, then the feelings we have will lead us into the experience of the moment after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are some topics which I would like to mention that you've posted on your website. For the people listening, some of the topics that will be included on the summit are the following. What is happening versus what you are being told? How this world changes, affect you? What is a new paradigm and how to use it? How do parallel universes affect Earth's changes? I like how you use effect and not affect. Why you are already awake and how to know it. Reality is as you have never seen it before. Practical applications of your present enlightened state. How to access constantly changing information for your use, comprehending the incomprehensible, making the invisible visible, and more. Would you like to tell people who might be listening about this?
Well, that's just sort of a synopsis of where we're going, and it goes back to the unified field that we're going to create. Because in the sense of there being no boundary to what we can experience, and in the sense of in the realm of the invisible, anything is possible, the only thing that keeps us from going to that place of the impossible, or the realm of possibilities, is the fact that we think it's impossible. And the fear of the dynamic of a new paradigm. So if we allow ourselves to remain in fear, then all we do is stay in confusion. What we're going to do in the summit through these various subjects that we've outlined is go to where the new information is that is coming into the planet right now. The planet's in chaos. That's pretty obvious. You don't have to look at too many news stories to see the chaos that's here right now. And what chaos means is that more information is attempting to get into the system. If you want to think of the story of the crystal goblet that is tuned to the key of C, and then when you strike a tuning fork next to it that is also tuned to the key of C and the goblet breaks and you've destroyed the goblet, so to speak, the only reason that the goblet breaks is because it's trying to allow more information, the information that is coming through the tuning fork to enter it, but it can't do it so long as it remains exactly the way it is as a goblet because it's just filled with being a goblet. So it has to destroy itself as a goblet to allow the new information to come in. That's what's happening on the planet right now. So for us,
so it's like a big transformation.
It's a transformation. So if we're going to allow ourselves to allow in the new information, we have to let ourselves destroy what we believe is real for us right now. And to do that, just to do it on a day-to-day, like, you know, walking down the street on your way to work, is pretty hard to do. When you sit in a unified field of intention that says we're going to release our hold on the focus into this dimension, the physical world, and we're going to allow ourselves to merge with realms that are unseen, then that's the place that we're going to go where we can see what is possible. And when we all set our intention upon the very best possibility, the most harmonious possibility resulting from the new information, we create it. So that's basically what we're going to do. We're going to touch,